I think it's kind of amazing how people get swept up in emotion. Have any of you ever seen people get swept up in emotion where something over here starts and before you know it's accumulated into this massive thing that is so big it's out of control? I want you to think about this, and all of us know this, because all we have to do is look back on our history and see some of these events. One of the most horrific that I've seen in my lifetime thus far is the stuff that happened in Ferguson, okay? It started out with a little bit of dissent, and before you know it, they had burnt down half the town, okay? Because of people's emotions. It happened to me one time, and I'll never forget this, and for me, it was a different type of outpouring. That was a negative kind of outpouring. But this emotional outpouring was really kind of neat because I was at a conference with Promise Keepers. How many of you have ever heard of Promise Keepers? Okay, I'm dating myself once again. The Promise Keepers were meeting in Baltimore, Maryland, and we filled the stadium. There were 14,000 men in the stadium at Baltimore. And as the altar call came at the end of the evening, all these people started getting up and going down front. And it was the most amazing thing because they would all get out of their seats, go inside, and they had to come through three entrances. There were only three entrances that were open to get you down to the bottom, to the front of the stadium where they had the stage set up. And it looked as though water was flowing because there's that many people, that many men going through there. And for the first time the Lord had showed me, he said, "This is living water. Watch it flow." And about that time, the men started coming out the tunnels and walking down through. Well, it was so amazing to me because I was with a group of men from a church, my first church as an associate pastor, and there was a brother there, and the Lord struck him. He had been in the church, but the Lord struck him because he had realized that he had been going to church. That's all he was doing. And the Lord struck him and said, "Are you mine?" And he committed his life to Christ. So he got up and went to leave. He went to go out to follow this throng of men, to be part of this outpouring, to be part of this flow. And it was so amazing because this is also part of it. The men in my church stopped him and said, no, "You're okay." I mean, he was crying. Tears were flowing. They weren't tears of sorrow. They were tears of joy, tears of release, tears of freedom, tears of years of anguish gone. And they stopped him and said, "Oh, no, you don't need to go down. You've been in the church." And it was so amazing because my senior pastor saw what was happening, and I was like, "Why are they stopping him? You know, he needs to go down front." And, you know, and so my senior pastor went down and said, "What's wrong with you people? Well, he's been in church all his life. He doesn't need to go down there." And he looked at him and said, "Are you God? Have you determined the day that he's going to accept Christ?" He said, "Don't you realize Satan comes to church every Sunday?" He said, "If God's moving in his heart, he needs to be down front." I've never seen a man go so fast in all my life. Kevin got up and took off. He could not wait to get down there. The emotion, the drive, and yet people try to squelch it, don't they? Let's turn in our Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're going to begin in verse 29, and we're going to read through 40. It seems like a lot, but boy, once you start reading it, it's not a lot. Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 40. "And thus saith the word of the Lord, when he approached Bethpage and Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt on which no one, a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he were going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God, joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. When I think of what's going on here, I cannot help myself, because this is Palm Sunday. We all know this is Palm Sunday. This is the triumphal entry when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He is entering in, and they are receiving him as their king. They are receiving him as the Blessed One. You just read what I read, and they're praising God that you know, this one has come. But how quickly they forget. The emotional uprise that is happening. How does it start? What gets it going? I think it's amazing because it starts because 12 disciples follow the Lord's instructions and go get a colt, bring it, set him on it, and as he's going, they start laying their coats in front of it. And all of a sudden, the rest of the people who have known Christ, I want you to get this picture in your mind. Those who had seen the miracles, those who had been fed, the 5,000 and the 3,000, those who have received sight, all those who were following him. Remember, it actually tells us in Scripture that it got to the point where Jesus had so many people following him that he couldn't even eat a meal because it was that crowded around him. And now all of a sudden, he's entering into Jerusalem. He's going up to the holy place. And they're probably thinking in their minds, he's going to take control. And the emotion goes out of control to the point where they are throwing their coats down in front of him. They're pulling palm branches off of the trees. They're putting the road down. They're paving the way. You know, this is the red carpet event of all red carpet events. And the king comes into his town. Can you imagine the electricity in the air that day? Can you imagine the power of the Holy Spirit in that day? If the people of Jerusalem would have said, my God, it would have been over at that moment. How do I know that? Because the scripture doesn't end where I stopped. Because the very next verse says, Jesus wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. If only you knew. If you would have accepted me. You see, they got caught up in the emotion, but there was nothing behind it but emotion. And emotion wanes. How many of us allow the emotion of our lives to be that driving force that gets us going? And then it dies, and we are left less than when we began. And then we get disillusioned and disappointed and denigrated. Is it any wonder? Because he didn't take the palace, did he? Well, he's coming in as a king. He needs to take the palace. And he didn't. Is it any wonder a week later that we find him on the cross? How many of you have often been confused? No, wait a minute. They accepted him on Sunday. They accepted him the week before. And then a week later, not even a week later, they're crucifying him. Play it out in your mind. Play it out in your heart. See what's really going on behind the scenes. Because the whole time Satan's working. Where does it start? It starts in the midst of the throng. Okay? The disillusionment starts in the midst of the throng. Well, what are you talking about? They were all excited. Were they? What did we just read? And the Pharisees said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, they were saying, "Hey, you, come here. Tell those people to shut up. We don't want to hear that. We don't want that kind of trouble here." And can you hear the murmurs going? The stopping of it, the stomping the fire out. You know, what's the first thing you do when you see a fire, right? You get something to put it out. Not a holy fire. When you see a holy fire, you need to start fanning the flames. You need to start praying for angels' wings. Because, buddy, we need this thing going. But our world says, shut up! You're intolerant. You're bigoted. Shut up! And what do? Do we get louder? Do we get more boisterous? Do we pick up the banner and hold it high? Or do we lay it low and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody. You know, there's something I need you all to understand today. Your faith is not private. Did you hear me? Your faith is not private. Number one, it doesn't belong to you. You see, faith is a gift. It belongs to God. And it's not for you to just keep. It's not for you just to hang on to. It's not for you to put in a closet. It's not for you to put in a can and shove the lid on it. Okay? It is for you to put on. How many of you, when you get up, especially on a good day, it's a good day, right? It's a nice day. We're going to go out. We're going to have a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful day. I'm going to be with friends. I'm going to be out in the public. I'm going to put on my fine stuff, right? On Easter Sunday, how many of you are going to dress up on your Easter finery? Okay. Brother David already told me he's preaching in his pulpit robe. I said, go for it. I'm wearing a suit. I ain't wearing a pulpit robe. They're too hot. Okay, so he's going to be wearing his pulpit robe. He's going to put on his best because he's coming to church. How many of us put on our best when we're going to the dirtiest of places? Jesus is our best. And that's where he wants to be wore. If you're just going to bring him to church, stay home. Because you really don't know him anyhow. Did the pastor just say that? Yes, I did. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is not interested in you showing yourself in church. He wants you to be here. He wants you to grow. He wants you to get equipped, all right? But if all you're going to do is come to church to show yourself that, I went to church this Sunday. Do you think that's going to get you in heaven? It's not. Are you going to put Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Are you going to take him with you when you are going to your friend's house who is totally pagan, who has absolutely no desire to know Christ? Are you going to wear Christ that day when you know you're going to be rejected? How many of us love rejection? We just walk right into it and say, oh, yes, choose me. Choose me. Please choose me. Tell me no. Tell me I'm wrong. Oh, thank you, Jesus. None of us go there. Jesus went there. In fact, Jesus went to the point of saying something that I hope we all understand. Jesus said, if these people don't cry out, the very stones are going to cry out. Do you believe that God can make stones cry out? I'm going to tell you right now, there will be a day when the stones are going to cry out because the Holy Spirit's going to be gone. And we are literally going to see the stones crying out to the Lord. You know, we won't be here, okay? But we are going to see all of nature worshiping God in such a way that it's never been seen before. And when I say that, please read the book of Revelation. You will see, because the world is at his command. And the earth, not only is it going to cry out, but it's going to burst out into flames. It's going to be one of the most amazing things, because the earth wants to be transformed again. The earth know to whom it belongs. And it's so amazing, because you're thinking, well, wait a minute, the earth doesn't have any feelings, it doesn't have any. No, but it knows its creator, because its creator knows it. He sustains it, he keeps it, and it obeys his command. All of nature obeys his command. The very trees, I think it's so funny, we see the trees out there. Right now, what are the trees doing? Their arms are in the air, pushing towards the sun, waiting for that sap to come up so it can burst forth in glorious praise to the Creator which created. They are raising their hands, waiting. How many of us walk around like this? Yes, Jesus, come, Jesus. We don't, do we? We walk around saying, yep, hi, how are you? Oh, Jesus, I go to church. Where do you go to church? Well, a little place over here. I think it's so funny. Because my question is, do you realize one way or another we're speaking who we are and whose we are? Because I think it's so funny. I've literally had conversations with people. I thought I was talking to a pagan, right? Because that's what I saw. I mean, that's what I saw. And I'm telling this person about Jesus, you know. And it's funny, because I do it subtly, all right? I don't jump in their face with, Jesus saves. We know he does, amen? Amen. But I'll see something, and I'll say, oh, wow, that is so cool. I really like that about you. And, you know, that's a really nice quality. And I'll start in that line, and before you know it, I've got them talked right around to where, you know, all those good things that make you, you know, they are innately from God himself. He's entrusted gifts to you. And they'll look at me and say, oh, God never did anything for me. I said, really? Do you know the very air you breathe, he created? The water and food you take in, you know, he makes. Oh, I make my own food. I said, really? Can I see you make a grain of corn? Well, you know what I mean. Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. But it's so funny, because so many people in our world, you know, that's who they are, right? Well, this gentleman I was talking to, I thought, all right, we're going to, oh, I see my way in here. So I started talking to him. And after about 3 minutes, he looked at me and said, oh, yeah, I know all that. I'm a Christian. I said, really? That was my statement, right? I didn't jump like I just did, but I just looked at him and said, really? Where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. Oh. How'd you come to know the Lord? Oh, my grandma was a Christian. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. How often do you read your Bible? Oh, I don't have one. But you're a Christian. Oh, yeah. I said, oh, so you know Jesus is God. Huh? There's a lot of people out there that think there's something, but they don't know really who they are or what they are. And when we look at them, It's the truth of what they show us as to who they are and what they are. You know, I'm speaking to my young people here. I'm speaking to my old people here. I'm speaking to me here. Because we are a mirror. We are a reflection of what's really inside. And I think it's one of the most amazing things. You know, as Christians, we are crying out all the time. Jesus said, if these people don't cry out, the very stones will cry out. And whether we believe it or not, we are living stones. We are either stones. Whether you're in Christ or you're not in Christ, you are a stone. You're either a stone that's dying or you're a stone that's living. Because your life will show what you are. It will show the foundation that you are set in. Would you agree with me on that? And we need to be those crying stones, those stones that cry out unto the Lord that He is good, that He is God, that He is praiseworthy, that He holds everything, He sustains everything, He is in and of all things. Okay? Now, I think it's funny. Does that mean God's in this building? Yes. God is in this building. Is God this building? No. All right? So when we have a facility and we call it a church, is God in that church? No. It's a building. God resides in the church. That's us. Can I get an amen? And this living stone needs to be crying out all the time. Christian, 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 Christian. Am I gonna say it by myself? Christian, 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 all the time. Figured it'd take you a little while to get that. I love to have fun with you people. Because you're my family. You're my friends. You're my brothers, my sisters. And together, we get to cry out, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. The stone you have in your pocket right now, I want you to hold it up. I need to pick one up. I didn't get one. This stone is not for sin, all right? All the rest of them were for sin. This stone is a remembrance stone that you are a living stone. You are God's stone. To cry out before Him, to cry out for Him before all people. So as you are out there and that stone is in your pocket from this day forward, and I pray you truly do keep it in your pocket, that when you go for a pocket full of change and you're standing at the register and you're looking at that individual and there's that stone, I want you to think, how am I going to show Christ right now? And I need to cry out. Because whether you do or not, you already are. But may you, as you hold this, remember who holds you, whose you are. I want you to consecrate it with me right now. Close your eyes. Father God, we lift up these stones. Lord, and I pray every person out there on the internet that's watching this, go out in your front yard and get a stone and put it in your pocket. Lord, we consecrate this stone as a reminder unto you. We have been through this journey of stones, and we realize that you, Lord God, are the rock of our foundation, and that we are the living stones that need to be crying out unto the world, bringing them to that place of understanding and knowing who you are. And Lord, we're not responsible for all that. All we have to do is cry out, bring glory to your name, praise you in front of people. Thank you in front of people. Let them know that you are alive and well. And that, Lord, if we don't, the very stones of life will. May we be counted as one of those living stones. And may this reminder hold us to the flame. Thy Holy Spirit guided and kept through the power of the cross and in the freedom of your love outpoured thereupon. In Christ Jesus' name, we dedicate these. We consecrate these that we may be living stones. Amen. This past week, many of you have been dealing, I'm moving this, guys. Many of you have been dealing with the stones. How many of you have been dealing with the stones since we started this? And somewhere along the line, one that you've already put up there comes back on you, doesn't it? It's an amazing concept, but I want us to understand something. Doesn't matter how many times you have to place one of those stones at that altar. Guess who will take it? Jesus. Amen. Jesus. The season of Lent is here to remind us, to prepare us, to get us ready for Holy Week. To get us ready to truly celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. This past week, I had the opportunity, one of the rare times, I mean, I try to share my faith as much as I can, but I had one of the rare opportunities that a person was really hurting, and they said to me, I just don't understand why all this stuff befalls me. And it was so amazing because I was able to literally walk that person directly to the cross of Christ and then bring them up out of the grave with the resurrection of Christ. And that person was so open, so welcoming to that thought, to that reality. And I'm going to tell you right now, do you think they're a finished work? No, they're not, because they got a long way to go, but they've begun that journey. And what a joy it was to, I mean, that stuff doesn't happen all the time. I can't say they accepted salvation. That's why there's not a white carnation there today. Marion, I saw the working in her mind because I didn't get that commitment. But what I did get was, you mean God loves me so much that I can continue messing up and he's still going to love me? What's the answer to that, people?
Yes.
Do you know our world is so screwed up that they honestly believe that if we mess up one time, we lose our salvation? That's why they criticize us. They think we are so screwed up because we constantly screw up. And I keep telling them, why do you think Jesus went to the cross? Because he knows we're going to mess up. And God picks us up, dusts us off, and says, now, let's try that again, doesn't he? Because my daddy loves me. How about yours? Does your daddy love you? You know he does. I told that young man, I said, you are going to fall again and again and again. Not that I want you to, and not that I'm being prophetic. I said, but I'm a pastor, and I fall. Not that I want to, but I do. I screw up. I told Ruth Ann just this past week, my heart and my head may all be heavenward, but I got 2 feet planted on terra firma, and I can't get them off yet. Because the day will come when it's going to be poof, and I'm out of here. But until that day, you and I need to remember that the foot of that cross is where Christ wants us to pile our stones. He doesn't want us carrying those stones. He wants us piling them up. He'll take them. Everyone we pile up, he'll take everyone. And he counts it not against us. That one. Remember what it's for? That's the only one I want you to keep. Because it's not for sin. It's a reminder. What's it a reminder of? That you are to be a crying stone. that we are to be the living stones of Christ Jesus, crying out because the world has stopped. How many of you are ready for Easter Sunday? Oh, baby, I am. And I'm talking my real. I mean, I've already had my Easter Sunday. That's the day we become Christians. That's when the resurrection applies. You know, we've all been there, right? But how many of you are waiting for the what I call the final Easter Sunday? Because that's the day God reconciles all things. And that's not going to happen for at least 1,000 years because we got the millennium to go through yet. But I long for that day. And that's my prayer, that as we look as Christians, we're not looking at tomorrow or the next day. You know, we're not looking at what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. That we are literally dealing with all of this, knowing that out there is my future. And nothing here has anything to do with controlling that except this, my relationship to Jesus Christ. This is what I need to do because I'm going there. Do you see the cross and all that? This is what I need to do because I'm going there, and this leads so far beyond. Easter Sunday is simply a preview of eternity for all of us. When we get in here next Sunday, you know, we're going to walk around and say, Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And I just think it's so funny because we ought to be saying that every day with our lives. So how's your journey of stones been? Did it get you down? Or did it get you right? And now you're ready, ready to walk in on Easter Sunday. You know, one of the things I hate, I don't know about you, how many of you love walking in your bare feet? I love walking in my bare feet. I just think it's so much fun. But I hate walking on stones in my bare feet. Can you agree with me on that? I've got wimpy feet. Okay? I got wimpy feet because when I walk on stones, it hurts. All right? This journey of stones has hurt. It has made me reevaluate who I am. It has made me look upon where I have fallen short, where I have not only sinned myself because of something I did, but something that I didn't do that I should have done, because there's two kinds of sin. But I am grateful, ever grateful, as I pray you are, and this is my end, that there is a rock to which and on which I can build my house. And I know that when God shakes all things, my house will stand, for I have built upon the rock of my salvation, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Let's pray. Father God, what a glory it is to come into your day and to understand your way, to receive your truth, and then to walk in life. For Lord God, you have taken us on a journey, showing us our sin, showing us our shame, but Lord, removing the guilt and setting us free. For you have received it. But now, Lord, may we receive it as well, that we would truly be those living stones crying out when everyone else fails. For, Lord, that's who we are. That's who you've told us we are. And we wish to cry out unto heaven itself that all would be saved. Father, as we go from this place, bless us, keep us in thy grace, and set us firmly ready to receive the resurrection this next week. That, Lord, as we come together as the body of Christ throughout the world, we are here not to placate ourselves, but to raise up the name of Jesus, who was risen from the dead and is seated at the right hand of glory, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.